So what makes a saint? Well, I guess you can play football for a particular team. There's a team called the Saints somewhere. I seem to recall a college team that at least at one point was called the Fighting Saints, which I always thought was amusing. Not saying saints can't fight, but it's not my first. It's not what I think of first when I think of saints. When I was growing up, this word saint was tricky for me because I grew up in a denomination that believed that all of truth that mattered had been given to us, and other people had little bits of it here and there, but they were mostly wrong about most things. And in particular, they were wrong if they were Catholics. And one of the things that came up all the time is how they worshiped the saints, and how evil that was. Well, it took me a while to realize that worshiping the saints is a peculiar way to describe veneration. I'm not saying that some people haven't worshipped saints over the years. I happen to know dozens of people who worship money. So it's not out of the question that people worship things that aren't necessarily the case. So I grew up with this sense of the word saint. It wasn't exactly a bad word, but it wasn't a word that we used because, well, we didn't have saints. We had saintly people, all of whom were dead or on the mission field. You weren't allowed to be saintly until you were safely out or far enough away that nobody knew that you might perhaps occasionally have a bad day. And saintly people were described in terms that were just slightly less than the same kind of terms that were used to describe Jesus. So it's a word that took some rehabilitation for me. And this is for me. I don't know that any of you had any of these same experiences. I don't know that anybody else in the world had these experiences, but what it did for me is it forced me to take a look at this whole saint business. Because when I was encountering this as a small child, I was not reading the Bible on a regular basis. We were still a King James church at that point, and I liked the sound of the King James, but it's a lot like listening to an opera in a language you don't know. You know, it sounds nice, but you have to go somewhere else to find out what it means. And that's sort of what I grew up with in the King James. And once again, I don't blame anybody for that. That's what we had. But even there, every once in a while, I would hear Paul talking about the saints here or there. I'd hear the word saint now and then, not just about saintly people, and not just about dead people, and very seldom about missionaries. And that began a process that, took years to get to the next stage because I spent a long time in the wilderness when I didn't think of these things at all. But when I came back, I started thinking about, what is a saint? And I started looking through scripture and I was looking for the things that make up a saint. And I was well aware of the history of the Roman Catholic Church from the perspective of European history, not so much church history. And I knew that becoming a saint wasn't easy, that they didn't just make everybody a saint, that these people had to have lived particular lives, and then miracles had to have been done in their name, and all of those things. And then I came back into the Bible, and I didn't see any of those things there. What I saw over and over again was Paul talking about the saints here and the saints there, who appeared to be people just like me, that didn't appear to be especially saintly. They just appeared to have one thing in common. They had two things in common. They all apparently knew Paul. But the bigger thing was that they were all part of the church. And it wasn't that they were members of the church. It's just that Paul tended to write to churches. But what they were is that there were people who were in some ways followers of Jesus. And I started thinking about that and perhaps many of you never had to go through this process. And I looked at the saints who were beatified and all that in the Catholic Church, and most of them were quite worthy people. Some of them were a little awful, but they turned it around at the end, as it were. And so, okay, people. The miracle part I wasn't so sure about because I wasn't there. I'm not going to say one way or the other. But I kept coming back to Paul calling people saints. And it appears that what makes a saint is having a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I didn't really know what to do with that at first, because it was a bit of a come down. I went from these saintly people who I barely remembered who had died, they'd always been nice to me, and these missionaries who I'd never met who were doing these wonderful things on the other side of the world, feeding the poor, working in orphanages, doing those things that Jesus told us to do. And then I looked around at the church that I was in, and I saw people who, well, they weren't particularly saintly. Some of them were anything but. And I had this sort of ongoing crisis for quite a while, until I realized that I had never taken the capital S off saint. It had always been something special, set aside in a way that normal didn't encounter. And so then we have the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as the song goes, was a wee little man, and he had this encounter with Jesus. An extraordinary encounter in many ways. Jesus is going in through or enters Jericho, and in Jericho, a town that Jesus did not spend a lot of time in because it wasn't part of his world, really. But he apparently knew who the chief tax collector was, because when Jesus got underneath the tree that he'd climbed up in, I had no idea what a sycamore or a sycamore fig tree when I was a kid, and I always thought it was sort of like a willow. How you climb a willow, I don't know. You'd have to be very small to climb a willow. But anyway, it turns out it's actually a very sturdy tree, easily climbable by several men. But Jesus stops and looks up at him and doesn't say, "Hey, what are you doing?" He doesn't say, "Who are you?" He says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay at your house today." And this causes problems. And it causes problems because the people also know who Zacchaeus is. And who Zacchaeus is a collaborator with the Romans who has been stealing money from them, using the Roman power as his backup for probably years. I don't know how long it takes to become the chief tax collector. Jericho wasn't a tiny place. And if he was the chief tax collector, he'd probably been at it for a while. And the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." And that is what really hit me when I started to put all this together years ago. Because I look at that and said, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." And I thought, you know, if Jesus came to my house, he would have gone to be the guest of a sinner. Because Zacchaeus wasn't a perfect person. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount, strongly suggests that cheating has happened and that he knew it. Something profound happened at that moment to Zacchaeus, and he went from a sinner to a saint. Because what makes a saint? An authentic encounter with the living Christ. That's all it takes. It doesn't take doing miracles. It doesn't take dying on the mission field. It doesn't take behaving in a saintly way. Although those are all good things. What it takes is to realize that you need something provided only through Christ. And that is what it takes to become the process of becoming the best person you can be, the person you were created to be. We weren't created with... When God created us and was thinking about us before the beginning of everything, he wasn't thinking, "Yeah, I'll make this one really awful for a while, and then it'll be better." No, God had the end product in view. And when we move in these directions, when we do things like, say, Here, now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back four times. An extraordinary moment. When we have those encounters that cause extraordinary moments within us, they're not always about paying back, because most of us aren't tax collectors or cheaters. But when we make this when we make that leap into the understanding that this encounter has changed us, and there are things that we need to do, things we can do to make us better. Not just because we want to be better, although we do, but because the better we get, the closer we come to what we originally intended to be. Those are the people that we think of as saints in that sort of more colloquial sense, not the Pauline sense, if you will. These are the people who are, as far as we can tell, closer to who they were created to be. I think of the people I grew up with. Some of them are awful, some of them are wonderful. Think of the people I've known over the years who are so just themselves that I think there is the work of God turning someone into who it is they were always meant to be. Perfect? No. Themselves? Absolutely. And I think of Leslie. And I think of Eileen Hurton. And I think of lots of people here and online. You don't have to die for me to think you're well on your way. But that's what makes a saint. Not a group of people getting together to discuss your good deeds. Not a group of people who wait until you're dead and have been dead for a certain period of time and that you've done enough miraculous things, we think, in your name. No. That you've had this encounter that has changed who you are and has put you on the path to becoming who you will eventually be, your best self. Zacchaeus was extraordinary in that there was a really big change right away. The disciples were still squabbling about who would be first in heaven at the Last Supper. It took them a little bit longer, perhaps. But from the very moment that you have an encounter with the living Christ, you are a saint. You can grow in saintliness. You can grow out of non-saintliness. But it's not a title that you have to do a bunch of things to earn. Because the people who are saints are those that Jesus came in his physical presence in this story, and who the living Christ comes to today. Every bit is real. Every bit is profound. And from that moment of encounter, whatever we were before doesn't matter. Because as of now, we're a saint. Amen.